Check. Hey, good morning, everybody. Let me see if we're recording, okay? Yeah, I think we are. Good morning and welcome to the Poetry Show on Enlightened Radio at www.enlightenedradio.org. The Poetry Show broadcasts on Wednesday morning, 7 a.m., pretty reliably. And Janet Harrison, my co-host, is, indisposed today, and so getting some treatments up in Martinsburg, West Virginia, so she won't be on today, but she did approve of my, our mutual suggestion about a poet to cover today, and that poet's name is going to be, was and still is, William Stafford. William Stafford was born in Liberal, Kansas, maybe about, 60, 70 miles from where my dad was born. And they're pretty close in age, too. William Stafford was born in 1914. Born in Hutchinson, Kansas. Lived mostly around Liberal. And my dad was born in Abilene, Kansas, in 1917. So William Stafford was a little bit older. And he was the oldest of three children in a highly literate family. During the Depression, that would be the Great Depression of 1930 to 37, 38, actually until the war started, almost 10 years. So during the Depression, his family moved from town to town, trying to find work for his father. Stafford helped contribute to the family income by delivering newspapers, working in the sugar beet fields. I got a good friend named Mark Fromke, worked in a sugar beet factory. he raised vegetables and also worked as an electrician's apprentice. Graduated from high school in the town of Liberal in 1933. And after initially attending senior college, he received a B.A. from the University of Kansas in 1937. I received a B.A. from Kansas in 1968. so we're 30-some years apart there. Anyway, he was drafted into the United States Armed Forces in 1941 while pursuing his master's degree at the University of Kansas, but declared himself to be a pacifist. He registered as a conscientious objector. He performed alternative service from 1942 to 46 in the civilian public service camps. The work consisted of forestry, soil conservation in Arkansas, California, and Illinois. For $2.50 per month, bed and three hots and a cot, they used to say. While working in California in 44, he met and married Dorothy Hope France, with whom he later had four children. His first major collection of poetry was published and called Traveling Through the Dark. I'm going to read that poem here in a minute. But it won the, and that book won the 1963 National Book Award for Poetry. So he was 48 years old when he did his first major collection of poetry, and he has, and you'll see for yourself in some of a few examples I plan on reading here, that he has a gift that sends him right to the top of poets. I've never met anybody who read William Stafford who didn't fall in love with him, basically. He had a quiet daily ritual of writing. This is one of the interesting things, a little bit like Billy Collins. Get up every morning and write. And, sometimes when you write every morning, you don't like what you get. But there's something about the craft of writing that requires doing it all the time if you want to get good at it. Like everything else, I suppose. Anyway, among the predecessors in literature whom he most admired were William Wordsworth, which is a little odd because that's not my favorite romantic poet, Thomas Hardy, who I love, Walt Whitman, who is, you know, the, and Emily Dickinson, probably the two most well-known and now poets, American poets. And, of course, Walt Whitman was well-known even in his time. Emily Dickinson took all of her poems, put them in a closet, had to be found by after she died. And, of course, it's, the work was also, you know, signature, indisputably unique contribution to American literature. Anyway, he has a... his poems are... typically short, focusing on the earthy and accessible details, appropriate to just a very specific locality. And Stafford said this in a 1971 interview. This will give you a little flavor. I keep following this sort of hidden river in my life, you know, whatever the topic or impulse which comes. I follow it trustingly along, and I don't have any sense of its coming to a kind of crescendo or of its petering out either. It's just going along steadily along, the hidden river of my life. Let's start with a poem that Janet wanted me to start with, and I'm going to do it. It's called Ask Me by William Stafford. I'm going to increase the size of the font here so I don't misread words. Sometime when the river is ice, ask me the mistakes I have made. Ask me whether what I have done is my life. Others have come in their slow way into my thought, and some have tried to help or to hurt. Ask me what difference their strongest love or hate has made. I will listen to what you say. You and I can turn and look at the silent river and wait. We know the current is there, hidden, and there are comings and goings from miles away that hold the stillness exactly before us. What the river says, that's what I say. Let me do that one again. It's very short, but there's a lot going on in this poem. Again, it's called Ask Me. Sometime when the river is ice, ask me mistakes I have made. Ask me whether what I have done is my life. Others have come in their slow way into my thought, and some have tried to help or to hurt. Ask me what difference their strongest love or hate has made. I will listen to what you say. You and I can turn and look at the silent river and wait. We know the current is there, hidden, and there are comings and goings from miles away that hold the stillness exactly before us. What the river says, that's what I say. Anyway, that's I love the way when when the river is ice, ask me, and I will listen to what you say. We know the current is there, hidden under the ice, and there are comings and goings from miles away that hold the stillness exactly before us. What the river says, that's what I say. So William Stafford is he's going to tug at you, you know, in a kind of gentle way each time. Here's another one. That's also one of my favorites. It's called Once in the 40s. And he's talking about him and his wife alone on a long road in Montana. We were alone one night on a long road in Montana. This was in winter, a big night, far to the stars. We had hitched, my wife and I, and left our ride at a crossing to go on. Tired and cold, but brave, we trudged along. This, we said, was our life. Watched over, allowed to go where we wanted. We said we'd come back sometime when we got rich. We'd leave the others and find a night like this. Whatever we had to give, and no matter how far, to be so happy again. Well, I'll have a little reflection on that. Let's do a walk to the river as we ponder this little thing, because we're into river poems here tonight. Walk to the river. I don't even know who did this song, but whoever it is, I want to thank him.
Thank you so much. Good night. Thank you.
I'm gonna walk to the river. 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 Family close at hand. We'll march like ants across the sand. We're not criminals. We're refugees and we're heading down to the land of the free. I'm gonna walk to the river.
It might be hard to figure all that out. Where's the other one I was going to read here? Traveling Through the Dark. This is one of his most famous poems. And the book it comes from is he won the National Book Award for poetry. And that's a pretty prestigious prize. He also served as, I can't remember the title, but the poet in residence at the Library of Congress, which was an early version of, the National Poet, whatever it is now called, Poet Laureate. Anyway, this is called Traveling Through the Dark, and it's one of his early poems. It's short, but pretty potent. Traveling through the dark, I found a deer dead on the edge of the Wilson River Road. It's usually best to roll them into the canyon. That road is narrow. To swerve might make more dead. By glow of the taillight, I stumbled back of the car and stood by the heap of doe, a recent killing. She had stiffened already, almost cold. I dragged her off. She was large in the belly. My fingers touching her side brought me the reason. Her side was warm. Her fawn lay there waiting, alive, still, never to be born. Beside that mountain road, I hesitated. The car aimed ahead, its lowered parking lights. Under the hood purred the steady engine. I stood in the glare of the warm exhaust, turning red. Around our group, I could hear the wilderness listen. I thought hard for us all. My only swerving, then pushed her over the edge into the river. A lot going on in that poem. Let's do a little, just do that one again too. These poems are hard when you listen to them, you know, being read. It's more personal, but it's sometimes harder to retain when you're listening, you know. just speaking for myself. Repetition sometimes helps. Traveling through the dark. Traveling through the dark, I found a deer dead on the edge of the Wilson River Road. It's usually best to roll them into the canyon. That road is narrow. To swerve might make more dead. By glow of the taillight, I stumbled back of the car and stood by the heap, a doe, a recent killing. She had stiffened already, almost cold. I dragged her off. She was large in the belly. My fingers touching her side brought me the reason. Her side was warm. Her fawn lay there waiting, alive. Still, never to be born. Beside that mountain road, I hesitated. The car aimed ahead, its lowered parking lights. Under the hood purred the steady engine. I stood in the glare of the warm exhaust that was turning red. Around our group, I could hear the wilderness listen. I thought hard for us all. My only swerving, then pushed her over the edge into the river. Whatever the river says, that's what I say. Somehow, when I'm reading William Stafford, for example, in the Once in the 40s poem, I can feel myself starting to tear up, and I don't even know why. You know, we were alone one night on a long road in Montana. This was in winter, a big night, far to the stars, indeed. We had hitched, my wife and I, and I left our ride at a crossing to go on. We were tired and cold, but brave. We trudged along. This, we said, was our life, watched over, allowed to go where we wanted. We said we'd come back sometime when we got rich. We'd leave the others and find a night like this, whatever we had to give, and no matter how far, to be so happy again. Let's do one more, and that'll sort of, then we'll close with a little tune, and that'll be our poetry show for today. I hope these poems have you know, brought some light into your heart and mind. Even though there's a little tough spot, you know, a swerve in the road on each of them. Let's see, where's the other one I got here? Oh, yeah. This one's called... this one's called Scars. Also, a short poem. I like that about staffers, especially if you're going to read them on a radio show. It's nice that they're short. This one's called Scars. They tell how it was and how time came along and how it happened again and again. They tell the slant life takes when it turns and slashes your face as a friend. Any wound is real. In church, a woman lets the sun find her cheek, and we see the lesson. There are years in that book. There are sorrows a choir can't reach when they sing. Rows of children lift their faces of promise, places where the scars will be. Another tough one. Let's read that one more time. Scars, it's called. They tell how it was and how time came along and how it happened again and again. They tell the slant that life takes when it turns and slashes your face like a friend. Any wound is real. In church, a woman lets the sun find her cheek, and we see the lesson. There are years in that book. There are sorrows a choir can't reach when they sing. Rows of children lift their faces of promise, places where the scars will be. So this has been the Poetry Show, a brief introduction to favorite poets of Janet Harrison and myself. This has been featuring William Stafford, one of the great American poets. I encourage you to read more of him. I think you'll find that the reflection that it generates will serve you well. This is John Case, and take care of each other. The Poetry Show broadcasts on Wednesdays, 7 a.m., and we'll be back next Wednesday with another poet. Be good to each other. Good night.